word of wisdom. Believers sometimes become guilty of the very things they accuse the world of doing, focusing upon the temporary instead of the eternal. Too many believers glorying in their earthly gifts and abilities and instead of serving and ministering in love. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And boy, oh boy, this has been an exciting 51 years. Had a lot of heartaches and discouragements. But I've had a lot of victories, and I've seen thousands and thousands of people to come to Christ. Hey, you can't get any better than that. Well, listen, why don't you just sit back and relax and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us tonight, okay? I've labeled this message, The Great Annual Race. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the 27th verse. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Well, the Bible compares the Christian life to a race. Now, each year we run another leg of the journey, and each year brings us closer to the goal. You know, back in high school in the Dalles, Oregon, we had a runner. His name was Homer Baker. Well, he went down to Hills Military Academy and he won a pig. So we named him Piggy Baker. You know, friends, me and my good friend Bill Elton was talking on the phone the other day. See, in 1941, the Dalles, Oregon, Dalles High School had the state championship. And they were you know, we only had a city of, I guess, about 5,000 in those days. But boy, we always had a tremendous football team. But do you know, Bill and I was talking the other day, and Piggy Baker, he was our running back, and I think he's the last one left alive off of that 1941 state champion team. But you know, friends, all runners long to win, or they wouldn't run, would they? And what do we need to win the race? Well, I can give you some scriptures on that. First of all, we need discipline. And I read in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the game exercise self-control in all things. Then that when do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we are imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others myself, I should be disqualified. Oh, friends, listen. Astronauts said They have to have the right stuff. You know what one of the hardest organizations to make the team is the Navy SEALs. I want you to know there's a Navy SEAL working for my son now. And he decided he'd go back in the service. And guess what? He had a tattoo on his neck. And the Navy said, no way. You're not coming back in. Friends, listen, I don't know why people mess up their bodies with tattoos. You know, a lot of Navy men do with it. And hey, listen, in prison, if you go to prison, you're going to get a tattoo. Almost everyone gets them. And some of them have many, many tattoos. Don't understand it. Don't want to understand it. But the people that are chosen for the Navy SEALs or the other ones in the other groups are carefully chosen, and they must go through rigorous training. I could have never been a SEAL. I can't hold my breath 2 or 3 minutes underwater. But boy, they do. And they become disciplined people. Believers must be also disciplined. Disciplined in devotional life and disciplined in what we think. Discipline in what we say and discipline morally. We must achieve self-control, temperate in all things. And then comes from the Holy Spirit, which is found in Philippians. Where is Philippians 3:13-14? No, I'm sorry, dear friends. I had that written in my notes. I'm wrong. I'm talking about Galatians 5th chapter 21 and 22. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, if you do that, practice such, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember me telling you a long time ago that when I was an alcoholic, I knew that was in the Bible. I sure did. And I knew I was a drunkard, and I knew I wasn't going to heaven. And you think I wasn't unhappy and miserable? And you know, I think there's a lot of alcoholics feel the same way that I did even today. And that's this. How could God love a wretched sinner like me? Well, he couldn't have without Jesus. See, Jesus was the one that come into the world to pay for our sins that happened in the Garden of Eden. It had to be a perfect person. Jesus never sinned. Oh, was he tempted? Of course he was tempted, just like you and I. But he never yielded. See, friends, listen. Sin is not... It's not sin to be tempted. It's only after you yield. Then it becomes sin. Well, we need direction. Now we're going to Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold on it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God into Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, we can't win by looking backwards. We got to look ahead. Forgetting those things which are behind, Paul said, leaving the past behind, forgetting all wrongs and wounds, reaching forth unto those things which are before, seizing opportunities to serve Christ. You know, friends, why there's so many unhappy Christians today? I'll tell you why. They're not living for Jesus. They're not walking their talk. Oh, they're born again. Oh, their name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. But that's where it stops. Oh, they go to church. Oh, they pray. They read the Bible. But that's where it stops. Friends, we have an opportunity, we have an obligation unto the Lord when we call ourselves Christians to serve Jesus. And I'm telling you the most important thing that I've learned anyway, that personal evangelism, soul winning, and witnessing is one of the greatest things that I've ever experienced. Every time my wife and I go to a restaurant, I witness to waiters and waitresses, give them my tape or give them the Unshackled tape or my movie or a book, because I am concerned where those people, where they go to heaven. I don't give a hoot where they go to church. I just want to know if they're going to go to heaven. He said, stretching forward with anticipation. Oh, my, yes. Aren't you anticipating? Did you know some of these days, beloved Christian, there's going to be a sound of the old trump? My stars in the morning, and you think things aren't going to happen. And the sound of the trump, and then Jesus shall appear in glory with outstretched arms, saying, come unto me, all ye have labor and heavy laden. Oh, friends, did you know tonight you're sitting there with a broken heart? Maybe you've lost a loved one by death. Or maybe perhaps you've lost your job. Or maybe your finances are in bad repair. Look it. Turn to Jesus. Talk to him about it. I can't overemphasize the fact that we have a God that cares. A God that's concerned. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego knew blessed well when they went in that fiery furnace, they're going to be all right because they knew Jesus was going to be with him. Lo, he said, I am with you even unto the end of the world. You're not alone tonight in all your heartaches and problems. He's standing by waiting for you to call on him. Talk to him. I remember one time, dear friends, I was in such a bad array, my finances. I owed $5,000 and I didn't have it. And I remember, so well. I went in and I fell on my knees on my bed and I said, oh God, I don't know what to do. You've said to call upon you when you're in need, and I have a sincere need and there's no way I can work it out. Lord, please show me what to do. God gave me the answer that day, and I was able to pay off my $5,000 without borrowing it. I worked and earned it. He said, eagerly welcoming all spiritual challenges. And friends, you're going to have a spiritual challenge every day you serve the Lord. You know, he said, pressing toward the mark. Oh, the mark. Well, making the best use of time for service. We spend too much time messing around with our own pleasures. You know what? There is nothing. And I remember when I was a director of the rescue mission at Grand Forks, North Dakota, I was also a Sunday school teacher in our church, adult Sunday school class. And I remember we had them fill out little cards, you see, and then we would study them and see what their needs were. And we had just got a house. The mission had bought us a nice home, and we didn't have our furniture moved into it yet, but I had a carpet put down. And so I said, let's go there and just, we were still living in the mission, above the mission in an apartment. I said, I'm just going to go over there and lay down in that new carpet and just rest. Because I was, you know, friends, I used to speak once every day, 365 days, and sometimes three or four times a day I'd preach. Three radio broadcasts. I was famished. And I had calls from churches and pastors and people in need. And this particular Sunday, I went over there and my wife went with me. And she took those cards from our Sunday school class that they'd filled out. And said, Cease, did you read this? And I said, what? Said, this army sergeant wanted to know, they wanted to be saved. I said, holy mackerel. So we jumped up, got in the car, drove over to their house, and went in there. And they were waiting for us. They sure were. And we introduced both of those dear people to Christ. we've made best time of our service. Always living for the glory of God. Always expecting the Lord's return. And I'm telling you, friends, there's not too many people who even think about it. Hey, you know the way the world is right now? Listen, friends, that trump could sound at any given time. Oh, yes, it can. The world is in bad repair. America is in bad repair. I don't have to emphasize to you all the things that's happening back in Capitol Hill, can I? You know what's going on back there. They're each pointing fingers and they're bad-mouthing each other when they should be on their knees asking God for direction how to pull this great country back on its feet. America is more divided now than it's been in I don't know how many years. Oh, World War II, people came together. They said, well, the Japanese attacked us. Well, so did they attack us back in New York. They sure did. Come on, let's get with the program. Do I love war? I hate war. I spent 4 years in the Navy during World War II. No, I don't like war. And I sure don't like seeing our young men being killed. Friends, do you realize how much problems is going to happen when these young men who have lived on the edge for 2 and 3 years come back? Their families don't know them. They're going to have spiritual help, not psychiatric help, but spiritual help to pull them back together. Well, living with the eternal rewards in mind, the prize, you and I are going to get a prize. You say, no, we're not. Oh, yeah, we are. Revelation 22. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Now, did he not say that? Sure did. We need to be dressed for this race. And I read in Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and lets us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, lay aside every weight. Now, you don't catch a runner with mucklucks on and a heavy winter coat and heavy trousers. No, they dress as lightly as they can. They don't want to be encumbered with weight. Lay aside every weight. No extra weight to slow them down. You know, friends, let me ask you, what weights have been hindering your progress? Have you been weighted down with the cares of this life? Oh, did I hit someone on the head? Well, sometimes we are. Hey, I've been guilty of it. I'm not just pointing my finger. Have you been unwilling to forgive somebody who has hurt you? Oh, friends, listen to me. I tell those men and women in prison every week, you can't carry an unforgiving heart and get right with God. You've got to be willing to forgive. I know it took a long time for me to forgive my stepmother, but praise God, he did give me the love in my heart to forgive her. No, I was never ever to reach her for Christ, but I tried everything I could. Have you been encumbered by negativism? And you know what? I've been negative sometimes, quite often. I've asked the Lord to help me forgive me for that. We shouldn't be negative. We should be positive. Listen, have you been slowed down by fears? Oh, friends, you know some people live on the threshold of fear. Oh, what if this? What if that? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I lose my job? What if I get cancer? What if I do this? Well, winners lay aside weights that drain their energy. Yes, they do. They cast them aside because they want to run and they want to win that race. Let me ask you this, friends. How are you doing in the great annual race tonight? Think about it. How are you doing? The rewards for winners will make every effort worthwhile. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Friends, listen, I've said this so many times. I have a mother, a daddy, two sisters, and two brothers in heaven. Now, when I get there, the Moes are going to have a reunion. And I'm looking forward to that. But more than that, yes, more than that, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Because he's the one I've been preaching about all these years. He's the one I've been telling you about. He's the one I've been introducing people to Christ for years. Because I found that was one of my gifts. I'm not the smartest man in town, I'll tell you right now. But I have a gift. God gave me a gift of evangelism. He called me to be an evangelist. That don't make me a big shot or a super something. It makes me what God called me to be. And he wants me to be everything he wants me to be. Because he knows if I do what he says, I'll be happy. I'm telling you, there's a lot of unhappy Christians running around the world today. They look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. They sure do. Never smiling, never having a praise the Lord on their lips. You know, I have a good friend. He is a tremendous friend. And I've known him for many, many years. He's a roofing consultant for some big roofing manufacturer. And I, being an old roofing contractor, we got along. But, you know, I love to talk to him because we have different thoughts on different things. But I tell you, did you know that guy? He has been one of the supporters of this ministry for years. Well, after I got off radio, I didn't have no support. And he stepped right in and did his job, and I thank him. Look, I don't love people just because they help our ministry. I sure don't. I love you because Jesus said I'm supposed to love you. And I am concerned, friends, where you spend eternity. I really don't care where you go to church. I just want you to go to heaven. Now, are you in the race tonight, or are you even suited up? You mean you don't know Jesus? Well, why don't we do it right now? Today is the day of salvation, according to the scriptures. Hey, friend, every time you turn Jesus down, next time it's going to be a little harder. And maybe someday you could send away your day of grace. Boy, you don't want to do that. So tonight, if you say, well, Cecil, you know, I do have a kind of a tugging at my heart, and I would like to get in that race and get my cleats on and start going. Well, here's what you got to do. First of all, you have to realize that you're a sinner. And the Bible said we have all sinned and come to short of the glory of God. What is the wages of sin? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. He gives you the gift to be saved. Now listen, here's a prayer. If prayed with a sincere heart, repentant heart, he'll give you that new life in Jesus. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll forgive me for all the things I've ever done. I'm opening my heart, Lord, and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't embarrass you. I won't use your name on the air. Won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Only concern, not where you go to church, but where you spend eternity. Oh, friends, listen, if you feel I can help you spiritually, don't be afraid to call. If you have some questions and I can't answer them, I'll get the answers for you. I don't know everything. Never claim to. And if you do claim to know everything, you're in bad shape. Well, listen, friends, I am waiting for your call right now. 303-471-8534.
Clouds in the glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day.
Well, friends, for that past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, Brother Bill Elton, for sending me this CD of the Liberty Quartet. My stars, can't they sing? That old bass boy, my equipment just vibrates. Oh, dear friends, I love good singing. That glorify our Savior. I'm so glad I have a wonderful quartet that works with me and has for 22 or 3 years. Well, friends, until this time next week, please pray for us, pray for our health, and pray for our prison ministries and our ministry and their rescue mission next month. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.